thank you guys so much for joining me today. Welcome to Beyond the Bites. And I am so grateful that you guys can join me once again. Thank you guys so much for all the support. If you haven't already done so, please check out my Medium page. I will leave the link in the description of this episode. I usually just write about these same topics that I'm discussing, but you might find that those are more in-depth than these sometimes. So do check it out and do share these episodes with your friends if you find them helpful, because they too might find one or two episodes helpful. Anyway, so let's just get right into today's topic. Today, we're going to be talking about the time when I did a coding assessment. I passed all the test cases and still got rejected. It sucks, I know. And if you've ever been in this position, then you know how frustrating this is, because sometimes you finish that coding assessment and you're so excited because you passed all the test cases. You're waiting for good news and then boom, a rejection. Thank you for, you know, considering, or thank you for whatever they say, you know. And this is so frustrating because you're like, what gives? Why? How? Like, how come, you know? And just to, you know, let me just say something really quickly. Like, there are some reasons, there are a lot of reasons why a company would decide to move on from a candidate. It might not be any of these reasons, really. It might have nothing at all to do with the coding assessment itself. It might, you know, be part of whatever reasons they have, or no, they might have no reason at all. We would never know, you understand me? And the most frustrating thing is sometimes interviewers and, you know, recruiters don't even respond to the questions that candidates ask, as far as like why they didn't move on to the next process or the next stage in the interview process. And yeah, so I just say that don't take any of these to heart. You know, if they don't pick you, so what? Move on. Okay. It's not the end of the world. Most definitely. Unless it is, then I don't know. But let's just go on. So, the first thing on my list as to why you did not move on is that you did not focus on the efficiency of the code. So let me just get right into this. So many people practice on lead code, I myself included. You know, we practice on lead code, HackerRank, and those sites and services that are the same, sites that are the same, honestly. And so sometimes you become so familiar with the type of questions that these companies ask, but we don't focus on the efficiency of the code. And this is true, and this was true for me. During the recruiting season back in 2020, I even bought a premium membership, you know, with LeetCode. And the reason why I did that was because sometimes I would come across a question and I would have a hard time solving it and couldn't even find answers anywhere on the internet or on YouTube. And I wanted to know the solution to these problems because I would find it so hard to solve. And having the premium membership was enabling me to look up the solutions that, you know, LeetCode had provided. And I think it's the same for HackerRank, but I don't know. But I was able to look at the solution and even look at like in-depth explanation for the solution sometimes. And this was really helpful. But what I ended up doing was I ended up kind of memorizing and kind of just learning the techniques to solve these problems. But then I never really focused on like the efficiency of the code, you know. And so there was a time that I went to an interview at a company, and one of the benefits for the premium membership for LeetCode, and this is not an advertisement, but one of the benefits was that I was able to get access to company specific questions, and this was cutting down my preparation time so much, and it was wonderful. But so I went to an interview at a company, and they gave me my first question for my technical interview, and it was something similar. It was not the exact same. Okay, maybe it was the exact same, but I'm not wanting to admit it. But it was very similar, or the same thing, as something that I had seen and solved on LeetCode. Okay, and so I was really excited, and I solved that thing, and I solved it perfectly. But I wasn't done, because then the interviewer just looked at me and said, can you solve this in a different way? And I was just like, I mean, I guess you want me to solve it in a different way. I'll try my best, you know. And so after a long time, I finally came up with a different solution. But to be honest with you, I knew right there and then that my solution was not efficient enough, because then also he spoke about the kind of like solution that he was looking for, kind of like spoke about it. He kind of like walked me through getting to that point, and I was like, Oh, so that's what he was looking for, you know. So we have to think about it this way, but sometimes it's not about writing a solution. It's about writing an effective and efficient solution. You know, because to be honest with you, nobody also knows what companies are looking for when it comes to solutions for these coding questions. It could have been that I would have like interviewed with a different person and I would have been given the same question that I was given, and my first solution would have sufficed. It would have been good enough, you know. So sometimes you never know what they're looking for. But what I would say is focus on not only writing solutions, but writing efficient solutions as efficient as possible, you know, because it's not all about passing all your test cases. And in coding assessment, sometimes you can put forth a solution and it might not be the most efficient ones, especially for companies who go back and check candidates' code. Sometimes they don't really care if you passed all the test cases. They care if you were able to give them an efficient solution. Okay, so the next point that I'm going to talk about is, you know, working really hard and perfecting your algorithms and data structures. It's not really the next point, but kind of the next point. But working really hard and perfecting your algorithms and data structures, knowledge and skills. And this is something that I've spoken about again and again and again and again, because I really think algorithms and data structures are the backbone, or like part of the backbone for doing interviews. And I'm talking about tech interviews here, and even coding assessments, because I can't imagine memorizing so many lead code questions and just spitting them out. I mean, what are the odds that you even meet some of them? You know, I have, but what are the odds that you will? Okay, I mean, but it's good to learn algorithms and data structures to prepare, because to be very honest, whether you need to use depth first or breadth first, it will depend on the problem, and it will also depend on how experienced you are with both of these concepts. So if you haven't been using them for a while, how would you know which one will work best? And most of the times, you know, your coding assessments are timed. You don't want to waste so much time trying out different methods, you know, when you could practice and know which one will work best. I mean, it's try and error, right? But I mean, if you can cut time, you definitely want to do that. And that comes with practicing and, you know, exposing yourself to some of these methods and knowing how to use your algorithms and data structure skills, I'm telling you. Okay. And sometimes also, you know, the best solution is a simple solution. It's not as complicated as we think. You know, sometimes we think we're impressing companies, and in doing so, we write some very complicated solutions when the problem could have been easily solved by some simple solution, you know. And that does not, you know, that does not mean efficiency. So, you know, all that I would say is to conclude the first point, make sure that your solution is efficient, make sure that it's simple, and make sure that it goes straight to the point. Okay. Number two on my list is that, you know, your runtime and your memory, your time and space complexity, sorry, was off. Okay. And this is true for a lot of people. I have found myself in positions, especially during like preparations for a coding assessment. I don't think it has ever happened to me for a coding assessment, but I think there were times on lead code where I was practicing and I would solve a question, and you know, I would get part of the what is it called? Test cases right and get the others wrong. And it wasn't because my solution was wrong. It would say something like, your solution took too long, you know, and that is a problem, you know. And if you don't think it's a problem, think about it this way. Think about how easy it is to solve 1 + 4 versus how easy it is to solve 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1. And I hope that was 5 ones, because I was trying to demonstrate, you know, 1 5 times is equal to 5, and then 1 + 4 is also equal to 5. But clearly, you can even see the problems that I'm arriving at. I'm having a hard time keeping up with all the ones, versus when I said 1 + 4, it was straightforward. You know, you knew, and I knew too, that it was 5. But then you had to keep up with me and count how many times I was mentioning the number 1. You know, and this is it. You know, in coding, you want your solution to be time efficient. You don't want it to take so long to figure out, because it costs money. You understand? Okay, imagine if Google was taking 60 seconds, a whole minute to load something, and it wasn't your internet's fault, and it was just Google being Google, and it was taking 60 seconds to load something. You would be frustrated. I would be frustrated. People would be going crazy. Okay, and then imagine also that an e-commerce site was taking so long to load. People would go elsewhere and shop for things because they don't have time to wait for so long for your site to catch up. They don't have that time. So these are like just a few ways that, you know, an inefficient time can cause money, you know, and can cause you to lose money. And, you know, the longer your code takes to run, the longer it's going to take, you know, for you to, but the longer it's going to take for the computer to verify whether your solutions are right or not. And sometimes that is why you don't advance, because your time complexity is not great. And nobody wants that. You understand me? I mean, some people don't care. Some companies will literally just go with, they see that you pass all the test cases and that's good enough. But for some companies who check your time complexity, maybe your time complexity was not the number that they were looking for. And maybe your space complexity as well was not the number that they were looking for. Again, you have to know the times to use array list versus an array. You have to know the time to use different data structures because they will all take different times. You have to know when to do bubble sort versus when to do a quick sort. You have to know these things, and you have to know when to implement them because they will take different time, and they take different amounts of time and space. Okay, space as well. They take different amounts of space and they take different amounts of time to run. And you have to know when to utilize these data structures. That's why, again, I said that you should really focus on your algorithms and data structure skills, because they will come in very handy, you know. And sometimes you don't advance to the next level because your time complexity and your space complexity is absolutely terrible. Okay, so how do you get around this? You practice. Thankfully, LeetCode and HackerRank and all of these other sites, you know, they have a portion where you not only get to see your solution, you get to see how it performs against other people, and you also get to see your time complexity, and you also get to see your memory usage. And this is a tool that I feel like a lot of people don't use. As long as they pass all the test cases, they're good. On to the next LeetCode question. And that's wrong. That's not what you're looking for. You want to make sure that you're putting forth the most efficient, the most timely, and the most memory or space friendly solution out there. You can compare your, it's done for you. You get to see how your solution compares in time and space against other people, you know. And sometimes you can even, I think it's only the premium membership, I'm not sure, but you can even see what code and what solution was written for the people who had the best times and the best space complexity. And I think you should take advantage of this, you know, because it would really suck to write a perfect code, or what you deem a perfect code, and pass all the test cases and get rejected because your time complexity and your space was absolutely trash. On to the next point. My last reason as to why you might have gotten rejected, even though you passed all the test cases, is that you cheated. This sucks. This is terrible. Okay, so a lot of companies actually require candidates to use webcams, okay, during coding assessments. I know some companies only require it to verify that it's you, and then you don't have to have it on through the entire process. And I also know that some companies require it to be on the whole time. To be honest with you, it is quite creepy. Nobody likes it. I definitely did not like it. And I don't know a lot of people who like it, but it's necessary. Some companies ask for it, and so that's what we have to do. But I also know a lot of companies who do not ask for your webcam to be on the entirety of the coding assessment. And this is where I think some candidates take advantage of this, you know, because, you know, also companies do recycle assessments so much. And, you know, with Lead Code and these companies having premium membership and having solutions really in their discussions, people just take advantage of the no webcam rule and quickly open a tab and just go search and find solution to problems that they can't solve because they really want that opportunity. They want to advance to the next level and they can't lose. They don't want to lose. So they rather go out there and find solutions to some of these problems. And sometimes companies actually can detect open tabs and they also can detect, you know, things that you don't think they can detect, like when you plagiarize a solution, when you literally copy and paste your solution, sometimes they can detect it, okay? It's like, man, why would you even, you know? So, because they can detect it. The open tab one is one that I've heard over and over again. I remember I did a coding assessment for a company. I don't remember who, and I don't remember what platform it was on. But I remember them mentioning that, you can open a tab to search up something. And I was so scared to even do that because then again, they said you couldn't search up certain things. And I'm like, how do I differentiate between the two? I just wouldn't search at all, you know, just to be on the safe side. But that's it. You know, you don't want to make that mistake and just copy. It looks bad. It's bad. It really is bad. Okay. Man, just don't do that, okay? So I also think, you know, it just looks really bad, especially when your solution looks exactly like something that is either on like LeetCode or HackerRank or even just anywhere on the internet. I mean, what really are the odds that you would write a solution that matches word for word, semicolon by semicolon for semicolon, okay? Parentheses for parentheses. I mean, you're closing at the same place, you're opening at the same place, your semicolons are in the same exact line, same spots, your indentations or your indentions are in the same spots, variable names are matching, function names are matching, everything is the exact. What are the odds? And excuse my clapping, because really, what really are the odds? Okay. I mean, but there are problems out there like the twosome, you know, and twosome cannot be solved in many different ways, really. There are about like 2-3 ways that you can really solve twosome. There are not a lot of ways to solve it, you know, so it's kind of hard to look different for your solution to look different. But then again, I think you can still have different naming conventions and, you know, different things that will make your code unique. You know, for instance, I don't really leave much space in my solutions, you know, and then I pick really weird naming conventions and I have very weird naming conventions, you know, and I always go with some camel case, you know, variable name or function name, even when it's not necessary. I always do something like that. It's just something that I have just been doing for a long time and just continue to do, you know. So regardless of the question that's being asked being so popular or being so simple, I can guarantee you that there will be something that makes your solution stand out from the next candidate and from any other solution on the internet. You know, so what I would say is make sure that your solution is unique, use different, you know, and really meaningful naming conventions and make sure that it's really different so that even if you don't cheat, you get blamed for cheating, you know, and then getting your opportunity taken away from you when you really worked hard for it. You know, so those are just my 3 points. What I will say is, once again, you know, companies can decide to move on or reject a candidate for whatever reason at all. They sometimes don't even explain it to you, you know, and that sucks. But please don't take it to heart. Keep practicing, keep polishing your coding skills, keep focusing on that, you know, your algorithms and data structure skills. Keep taking a look at your time and space complexity all the time to make sure they're in great shape. And I really truly do hope that if you've done a coding assessment and it went well, as you think it did, that you do hear back and you hear good news and you don't hear bad news, because that really sucks. But anyways, thank you guys so much for joining me once again today. I